Number 20B.
That's how far we got yesterday. And then we began to see, now we have laid, so to say, the foundation of the nature of the universe. We have only, up to this point, tried to define, so to say, now what is the true universe versus an erroneous universe. But the main point of it would be to show now what is the purpose to find a new kind of universe. And therefore we come always to the demonstration of it, that reflection leads to demonstration. What it demonstrates, therefore, is the essence of that universe. Not just to see that each idea reflects every other idea, but that we say, for what purpose? For what purpose? And the purpose in it is shown in life, truth, and love. We already saw that here life is symbolized by the fatherhood of idea, truth as the sonship of idea, love as the motherhood of idea. What does it mean? First of all, how much different is it from life, truth, and love in the Word and in the Christ? I think we have to see that very clearly. That also in the Word, we have life as the Father, truth as the Son, and love as the Mother. But there it is just the statement of the nature of God. Namely, as I said it, life is symbolized by the Father. The Word needs an expression, needs a Christ. And the moment we take the Christ, then we have the expression of Father, Son, and Mother. And that expression of Father we call fatherhood. The expression of the Son we call sonship. And the expression of Mother in the Word, expressed in the Christ, we call motherhood. So it is actually, if I would word it rightly, we would have to say, in the Christ order, we get in life the fatherhood of God. The accent is on hood. In truth, we get the sonship or sonhood of God with the accent on ship or hood. And in love, the accent is on motherhood of God, on hood of God. That's the expression, the way of expressing, the power of expressing in the Christ. Christianity is the outcome. Therefore, there is no more so much that powerful expression from God to men. We have the outcome, and the outcome is at the point of idea, and no more at the point of God. The Word is God, Christ is God expressing itself. Focal point of Christianity is idea, the universe included man. So we have idea, but as life, that idea reflects the fatherhood, an idea, the sonship, an idea, the motherhood. So that in Christianity, to be exact, we would have to say that life shows the fatherhood of an idea. Not the fatherhood of God, but the fatherhood of idea. So we could put there into that box in life the fatherhood of idea, fatherhood with small letters, sonship of idea, also with, you don't say small letter, you say lowercase, sonship of idea, and in love, the motherhood of idea, the motherhood of idea. So that we can see here that the attitude is quite a different one. Here we must see that every idea, because every idea reflects every other idea in spirit, now the demonstration of it is that every idea is fathering every other idea, that every idea at the point of truth is sonshipping every idea, and that at the point of love, that every idea is mothering every other idea. And if we have that universe, we have a universe of relationship that is based on spirit, namely infinite reflection, and then we get the essence of that reflection, say, what does it reflect, for what purpose does it reflect, and then we have life, truth and love as the reflection of fatherhood, sonship and motherhood. Now, so we can put there, I think, did you write it in life, fatherhood of idea, in truth, sonship of idea, and in love, motherhood of idea. Yesterday was asked, what does it mean, fatherhood, sonship and motherhood? These are actually biblical expression, because Christ was the Son of God, Jesus called God the Father, and later on the motherhood of God came into focus. They are actually biblical symbols, they are natural symbols, they are personal symbols, if you like to call it that way, and therefore they do not always convey really the abstract meaning that we should give them. We will see that these three terms are actually very practical, but perhaps not so clear as we would like to have them. We will see something what we saw when we are studying the seventh synonymous term in place of God. There too we had quite an interesting phenomena. We started out by saying, now the Bible talks about God, Mrs. Eddy talks about God. What does God mean? God is an undefined term. Actually, it doesn't mean very much. Everybody understands under God something else. So let's get rid of the term God. And so Mrs. Eddy got rid of the term God by explaining it through other terms, through the seven synonymous terms, getting rid of a religious sense of God and getting a more metaphysical definition of God. But then we ran into a difficulty. Then when we began to write and to speak, and we wanted to speak about the Godhead as a whole, then we always had to say, mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love. Mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love. And we got to be bored of it, because it costs a lot of money to print always, mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love, in just one term, God. And so we came back after that to use the term God quite often, quite frequently. But then, naturally, it was an understood term. It was a super symbol, so to say, for the seven synonymous terms, and it was very practical. Therefore, Mrs. Eddy uses the term God very often in her textbook, though she has said it would be nice if we could drop the term God and have another term. But always to repeat all seven is a bit a nuisance. Why not to have, why shouldn't we have a common term for the seven? So, again, we can see, using the term God in our writing or in our teaching can mean two things. It can mean that we don't know what God is, or it can mean that this is a summary term for all the seven synonymous terms. And in the same way, perhaps we will experience here something with fatherhood, sonship, and motherhood, of the idea that naturally we can easily, or we should even do that, analyze what is meant by that symbol fatherhood of idea, what is meant in metaphysical terms, what is sonship of idea, what is meant in metaphysical terms, more abstract terms, more definite terms, the motherhood of idea. And then we can have a whole list of these ideas, and then afterwards I think we fall back again to the summary term, because it's too big then to repeat the various metaphysical ideas. But in order that afterwards the fatherhood of an idea means something metaphysical and very definite, we have to analyze those three terms. And that is what we are going to do. These last three points, life, truth, and love, as from the point of view of ideas, are naturally the very practical terms for our practical Christianity. The first four, principle, mind, soul, spirit, they are more or less establishing the foundation for our Christianity. And once we have really established that foundation, we don't have to establish it all over again and over again. We can build then on that tone of spirit, which is the central focal point of the Christianity order. But then the practicability, the demonstrability of that new universe is in life, truth and love, and therefore that is always new, is always something very living and new, and makes up a practical, demonstrable, living Christianity. So we have to consider this in more detail. Let's take the fatherhood of the idea, and let's discuss what metaphysical terms, metaphysical concepts are actually involved in this more religious term. What does it mean to father? The father provides, supports, yes, what else? Impels, perhaps, yes, maintains, yes, gives, huh? Yes, yes, that's in the word, huh? Originates, creates, no, has much more the sense of creator. Father, it provides for, you see what the difference is, the fathering must already have a son, see, it's not how to become a father, huh? As a creator, he becomes a father, huh? But that's mind. And that's the difference that is sometimes not easy to see between mind and life, because, you know, we very often speak about mind being the creator, but also about life as the creator. But in both cases, it's applied differently. In mind, we see that in mind lies the origin of a creative ability, whereas when we come to life, then the creator is already expressed in his creation, and he already is a father. Huh? He's not going to be a father. You remember that terrific statement where Mrs. Eddy says, life is mine, life is mine, comma, the creator reflected in his creation. So you have here a very clear sense of why life is mine, huh? Because mind is the creator, but life is the creator reflected in his creation. The father is always a son, or he's not the father. He may become a father. Yes. And so somehow first he starts to become a father in the symbolic imagery. So the tones that we have here were all tones that would define the relationship of father to the son, namely, you had maintaining. You can only maintain something if something exists. You can only sustain. We had sustaining. Sustaining something that already exists. Supporting. Only to support something that already exists. Providing. You provide something that already is, that needs that provision. You had, you said giving. You only can give to something. You don't give into the emptiness. There must be a recipient there. So again, it's a relationship of creator to creation. Giving. That's not life. Huh? That's motherhood. That's motherhood. Protecting is usually love. Huh? Mostly it's the mother lioness, huh, that protects the children. Huh? Yeah. Fathers run quickly. Mothers don't. I don't belong to women's lib, but I still want to. Yes, Marjorie?
Love with a small L coming here, or is that in the word?
Love with a small L is actually laying down the mortal, except you have love one another. Huh? Then in that case, it would be that fatherhood sense. Now, if we take all these together, perhaps we could find a common denominator for them without using fatherhood. And I think a common denominator would be what? Could you see that all those terms had one thing in common, all those terms, that there is a relationship between the giver, the source, and the one that receives. It was always a relationship that I can express like this, going outward, from within, outward to its object. That's why, again, you have an objectification of things here. And all these activities of maintaining, supporting, providing, maintaining, I had, providing, giving, feeding, they all have a sense of projection. It's, I think, the modern term for fatherhood would be projection. You project all what you have on your object. You feed them, nourish them, give them, provide them, maintain them, uphold them, maintain them, feed them. It's always that. Jesus, I can't quote. I never can quote from the textbook. Somehow there is a passage, Jesus threw upon mortals.
The true reflection.
Is that the passage? You see, that's what it is here. Huh? You had reflection in spirit. What are you going to do with it? You throw it on mortals. Huh? You throw it on mortals. You project it on mortals. That's fatherhood. So we could, in a way, find metaphysical term for fatherhood would be projection. Now, what do we project? Now, what do we project? The reflection. We project only that which we have established up to now in the Christianity order, namely infinite ideas that reflect each other. How do they reflect each other? Not by a mysterious way. They reflect by us projecting them constantly on the whole universe. So you get the sense of fathering the universe by projecting on the universe only ideas. We project on the universe here only that which we have established through principle, mind, soul, spirit.
Spirit is the climactic point, then, isn't it?
Yes.
The thing comes into operation when life comes up.
Yes. It's again the climaxical point. It's the turning point. It's the focal point of it. Yes, just as we had focal point the word order was principle, with the two wings. The focal point in the Christ is actually love going over to soul. Love wants to express itself. And here in the Christianity order, the focal point is spirit, the infinite reflection. And now what are we going to do with the infinite reflection? We begin to reflect it by projecting it into our universe. Here we come to really practical Christian science, practical Christianity. How shall I look at the universe? How shall I behold the universe? Can you see that's projection? What kind of an image do I project on the universe? How do I look at the universe? Do I look at the universe with my eyes, or with my emotions, or with my psyche, or do I look at the universe with the infinite ideas, spirit? That's life. And never give in. Yes? Would that be fatherhood sense? Now, before we go and see how that infinite reflection of fatherhood sense can be built up, let's first try to find if we can also find a metaphysical interpretation for the sonship of ideas, truth. This sonship business is naturally a very strong religious symbol, and so we have also to find a more scientific definition for sonship. What means sonship? We could say it is affirming. Why is it affirming as the son? The son affirms, so to say, his inheritance. He says, what my father had, the son has also. He takes possession, so to say, of what the father has. It's affirming. What other terms would we have for that kind of a sonshipping?
Claiming.
You see, we claim our inheritance, we claim our possession, we affirm it.
In the human, in a business, a son may take over the father's business. carry that business on and improve it to make their wealth.
Hopefully. Yeah. So he takes it on again, huh?
So could it be a carrying forward?
Hopefully he does so, yes. Yes.
And upholding the divine standard. Upholding that.
Upholding. I don't know, just to go back to Bill, if that is not then an implication, what he will do of it, what he will not do. But anyway, he will take possession of it. He will make it his own. It becomes his own.
In that sense, becomes the heir.
He becomes the heir. Yeah, yeah. Again, that, yeah. Sorry, Louisa, what did you say?
Well, the son would uphold.
Uphold. Uphold, yes. Uphold, affirm we had, huh? Or didn't we have affirm? Yes. Uphold, affirm, claim, yes. Uphold, yes. Take possession, yeah. Confirm, uh-huh. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. Confirming it, yes. Uh-huh. Yes. So I think these could be ideas, huh? That would replace the old biblical sense of sonship, namely to take possession, to affirm what the Father has, to claim what the Father has for oneself, to take possession of it, to affirm. Did we have affirm? Oh yes, we had affirm. And the counterfeit of it actually would be the negate, huh? The negating, the refusing sense, which we know only too well in our own life. That if we consider ourselves and say, yes, I'm the Son of God, but actually do I claim always that what the Father has? Or isn't it so that all through the day I negate my sonship? I negate and refuse that I am the Son of God, that I have what the Father has. Isn't it so that we say, I don't have it, I don't get it? Where we negate our inheritance, our primeval inheritance. There is something within us that constantly tries to annihilate what we are, what we actually are. All right, we have to stop here.